This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Show, it's dead center of our work week, and not only March Madness, but, well, I guess you could call it March Madness of a different kind. We are about to have Major League Baseball games that count coming from Seoul, South Korea for the first time in that league's history. And of course, it had to be Dodgers and Padres with their connections, not just to South Korea, but also to Japan. And I can imagine the buzz is off the charts. So we're really excited not only to have baseball on our way home from the office, but to have our first ever guest joining us live from Seoul, South Korea. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Jesse Agler is the play-by-play voice of the Padres on their radio network and on our affiliate 97.3 in San Diego. Jesse, producer Jay tells me you're on the field right now.
I have since ducked into the tunnel behind the field to try and make it a little more quiet, but yes. And it is quite a spectacle, Amy, as you might expect. And you know that old thing about, like, you know, you walk into a party, you look around and you see who's there, and it gives you a pretty good sense of what kind of party it is. I was just out on the field. I got a chance. It's going to sound like name dropping. It isn't. I'm just trying to set the scene, okay? Rob Manfred is out there. Ken Griffey Jr. is out there. Jimmy Rollins is out there. CC Sabathia is out there. Dave McCary, who's married to Oscar Award winner Emma Stone. I mean, it's just it's a really, really, really neat scene. And then, oh yeah, by the way, you know, Yu Darvish is starting tonight. Shohei
yes.
Ohtani is playing for the Dodgers tonight. It's really pretty special right now.
What is the buzz like, even for the exhibition games that you've had so far?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not just at the stadium, and obviously a pretty good buzz here, but really all around town. You know, it kind of feels like a baseball takeover of Seoul. You know, it's already a place where baseball is a very big deal, and that's just been ratcheted up. Chan-ho Park is throwing out the ceremonial first pitch today. 30 years ago, the first Korean-born player to pitch in the big leagues. He's still the all-time winningest Asian-born player in Major League history. He's a very big deal in Korea. He's a big deal in Dodger history. He currently works for the Padres. So, you know, it's just like all these cool little tie-ins as we really celebrate the sport here, and it's a unique way to kick off the season.
Jesse, when you found out that you would be, or the Padres would be, so you would be taking this trip to Seoul, what was your reaction?
I was thrilled. It was actually, like, I first kind of heard about it last year at spring training, over a year ago.
Wow.
And it was kind of like, hey, you can't say anything, but it sounds like next year we're going to start the season in Seoul. And it was like, oh, man, I don't even remember when they officially announced it. But, you know, I remember calling my wife, like, pretty much right away. And she's like, I'm going. You know, I don't care what it is. I'm going. And, you know, sure enough, she's been here with me all week. You know, a bunch of family members have come out, you know, kind of turned it into sort of like part vacation-ish, at least for those guys. And then, you know, for the rest of us, getting ready to call these games that matter, and that's the cool thing. I mean, I know it's going to be 3 o'clock in the morning on the West Coast where these two teams are from, but I am sure there are many Padre and Dodger fans who are going to be up for it.
Jesse Agler of the Padres Radio Network is joining us from Seoul, South Korea, no longer on the field, but was just out there and the stadium is buzzing. It's called the Sky Dome. I want to make sure I don't mispronounce. What's the proper name before Sky Dome?
Go Chuck Sky Dome.
Go Chuck Sky Dome. And he's joining us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. On a serious note, there were apparently bomb threats that were emailed to a consulate in Canada and set off this wild search there at the stadium. About 150 police officers and dogs and x-ray detectors. Did you see any of that?
No, that was all earlier today before anybody got here. And apparently they found out it was a hoax. I guess the person who sent it in has kind of a history of doing stuff like this, needs a new hobby. But, you know, I mean, look, the reality is, I think for those of us, you know, who go to the number of stadiums that we do, this kind of thing probably happens more often than any of us realize. Thankfully, most of the time, there's nothing to it. Thankfully, all of the time, there are authorities who handle it, usually very quietly. You know, but yeah, some news got out about that, but it turned out to be nothing. And obviously, that's great. We can just go on and enjoy this celebration of baseball.
What was the travel like to get there with the official Padres party?
Long, but really, you know, really good. I mean, I think it was about 13 and a half hours in the air. We left from Phoenix where we were having spring training. And, you know, I think we missed, what was it, like March 14th? Didn't exist for us because you cross over the dateline. We'll pick up a day coming back. But, yeah, I mean, they did it right. Both teams flew over on, like, a special chartered 747. You know, they had their plane. We had our plane. And, you know, I mean, it's as comfortable as you can be flying across the entire Pacific Ocean. And I think everybody feels great. We've had enough days here to sort of adjust and, you know, get the body clock right. And now it's work time.
Well, and that's something that we've heard about with NFL teams, right? When they make that trip over to London or even to Germany, there is an adjustment and there seems to be some fatigue and teams are trying to figure out how to navigate it. Did you feel any of that in the first couple days?
For sure. For sure. You know, the first night we were here, because we, you know, landed at 1:30 in the morning local time. We ended up, I think, back at the hotel, you know, 4:30 local time after customs and everything and getting through the city. And then, you know, that night coming up, like, you know, my wife and I, we did a cooking class. You know, we're going through this market somewhere in Seoul, and I felt so tired and, like, to the point where I almost felt like I was sick. I was so tired. But kind of pushed through that. The adrenaline kicked back in. Got to bed at a good hour that night. Woke up the next day feeling totally normal. So luckily for me, it was a really short thing. You know, the other thing is baseball players, man, I know we don't do this many time zones regularly, but we do time zones all
the
time.
True.
You know, this plane that we're usually on is zipping all over the country all summer long. We're getting into a place at 4 a.m. and having a game that night with some regularity. So, you know, I also say, look, I'm 42 now, or almost 42. These guys are all in their 20s for the most part, or their early 30s. They can handle it. They're fine.
Just as a matter of information, are the guys being introduced in Korean or in English?
That's a very good question. I don't have an exact answer for you. For the exhibition games, they brought the teams out on the foul lines, but they didn't do a full, you know, opening day type introduction. So we'll see, probably about an hour and a half from now.
But what
tune in to find out.
Yes, absolutely. I can't wait. What is the reaction like, though, for some of the guys you mentioned, like Shohei Ohtani and Yu Darvish and even Ha-Sung Kim?
It's been incredible. Kim, obviously, is a huge deal. This is his old home stadium when he was with the Kiwoom Heroes in the KBO. He had two home runs in the exhibition game the other day, which was obviously
awesome.
Pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
It's a very, very big deal. We also have not yet seen the full scope. You know, I don't think we have yet seen the place erupt the way it's going to for regular season Major League Baseball. So, you know, a lot of anticipation right now, certainly.
All right. The million-dollar question, Jesse, actual baseball talk. How do the Padres rebound from last season?
I think by just taking a breath. You know, I think last year it's fair to say that the expectations got to this team. And it was one of those things where they didn't get off to a great start, and then everybody tightened up. And by the time they loosened up, it was too late, late in the year. And I think that they've recognized that. I know they've talked about that. There's still an awful lot of talent on this team. I know Juan Soto is gone. I know Blake Snell is gone. But you bring in Dylan Cease, who's one of the top starting pitchers in baseball. You still have guys like Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., Xander Bogaerts, you know, at the top of that batting order. Ha-Sung Kim turning into what looks like he could be a perennial all-star on the infield. He's a tremendous defender. So this is a really, really good team. And I think they've just taken a step back and a big, deep breath in. And I don't know that they have to make any major adjustments on the field. Go out, let their talent do the thing, and they should be better than last year.
How long until Cease is ready to go?
It sounds like he's going to start one of the games against the Giants on our normal opening day back at home. I don't know which day, but after these two games against the Dodgers, we go home to San Diego, play a couple of exhibitions against the Mariners. He's going to start one of those, and then he'll start, it sounds like, one of the games against the Giants in that season opening series at Petco Park.
So how does the rotation stack up now? Snell's obviously in the division, but with the Giants, Cease may not be ready right away, but soon. So how does it look 1 through 5?
Yeah, on paper, basically, it's, you know, Darvish and Musgrove, 1 and 2, 1A and, you know, 1B. And it sounds like those guys are not only going to start these two games, but also the first two games back at Petco against the Giants. So they'll be able to each make two starts before anybody else makes one. And then on paper, again, you sort of slot Cease into number 3. Michael King, one of the pieces they got from the Yankees in their Soto trade, is the 4. And then, you know, you've got something of a competition for the 5 spot. It might also be in flux a little bit as they manage workloads for a couple of the other guys who were acquired in the Soto trade, namely Randy Vasquez and Johnny Brito, both of whom had really, really good springs. So they feel comfortable, confident with it. And knowing the Padres as I do, there are always moves to be made if moves need to be made.
From Seoul, South Korea, I need to keep saying that. Jesse Agler of the Padres is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. All right, so from your perspective, of course we agree, money doesn't buy a World Series. If it did, the Dodgers would be perennial champions. Still, though, they spend a billion with a B, dollars on Yamamoto and Ohtani, and also they bring in Tyler Glasnow, who will be starting this first game. I mean, how daunting is that to look across to the other dugout and see it's a roster full of MVP candidates?
I mean, you know, you could have said the same about the Padres last year, and you can say the same about the Padres this year. You know, I mean, and it just shows you that that's not how baseball works. You know, it's not the NBA where there's only 5 guys on the floor at one time and one ultra superstar, not to say anything, if 2 or 3 can make all the difference in the world. I mean, the Dodgers, not only did they not win a playoff game last year, they didn't have a lead in a playoff game last year. And that is the fickle, fickle nature of baseball. One of the things I'm fond of saying on the air is just when you think you know something about this game, it smacks you in the face and reminds you you don't know nothing at all. And I think both teams, to a certain extent, experienced that last year. The Padres in the regular season, the Dodgers in the postseason, both teams looked like they were going to be among the very best in baseball. And while the Dodgers were throughout the regular year, the other team you could say that about, the Atlanta Braves, also got knocked out in the first round. 300-win teams last year in Major League Baseball. None of them got out of their first playoff series.
Right.
Baltimore, Atlanta, and the Dodgers. So you don't have to worry too much about that. You know, there's enough other things to worry about in baseball. When you get into that box, you're trying to do the hardest thing in sports. And weird stuff always tends to happen.
All right, so how's the food, Jesse?
Oh, my gosh. I got to eat nothing but salad when I get home for like 3 weeks.
That's amazing. Well, how
That's
is
all
it,
you need to know.
Yeah, how is it for the teams, though? Or do they have a personal chef, someone who's cooking for them? How are they doing their meals?
For the players, yeah. Oh, no, they've got a whole setup. You know, I think that's part of the CBA. So they've got what looks like very nice catering, but I don't have access to it personally. I have seen sushi. I have seen many other things. They're eating just fine. We got, let's see, I'm holding it right now because it's dinner time, media voucher worth 18,500 Korean won at the concession stands. So that's, you know, a little bit different for us, but that's okay.
Before I let you go then, how does the stadium compare to a stadium in the major leagues here in the United States?
Well, it's small. I mean, the capacity is just under 17,000, but it's a dome. They have brand new LED lights. It's a brand new turf surface. So, you know, they've updated that stuff. They've updated the clubhouses and the weight rooms to sort of get it to a major league standard. And it's a really cool place, and I know it's going to be loud tonight.
Is it going to sound a little bit like the stadium in Tampa then? Or the Trop? Sound like the Trop?
It's gonna sound much louder than that. It's gonna sound, but it does look a little bit like the Trop, you know, just from like the roof standpoint. But no, I mean, there's cheering sections and instruments and all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
That pretty much goes on the entire game. So it'll sound like international baseball. That's for sure.
Oh, very cool. All right, well, we're going to listen to you on the way home because we'll be in the car, and so we'll get your call. Jesse Agler on Twitter, Jesse A-G-L-E-R, San Diego Padres broadcaster from Seoul, South Korea, trip of a lifetime. Jesse, have a blast. Thank you so much for a couple minutes.
Amy, my pleasure, and hello to everybody back home.
Awesome. He was on the field, you guys. The Gochuk Sky Dome. I wanted to make sure I asked him because I could have taken a stab at it and probably would have put some type of an E inflection in there. Jay, are you so jealous? Because I am so jealous. A work trip to Seoul, South Korea.
That's cool. That's awesome.
What do you think? Take a wild guess. Are the introductions going to be in Korean or in English or both?
My guess would be both. I would say if they're going to say it first in Korean, because that's where they are, right? That's where they should. That's what they should say it in. And then I think they're going to say, like, you know, now batting, you know, Shohei Ohtani or whatever for the international traveling crowd.
Can you imagine how loud it's going to be? Oh. So think of the trop and that audio and the way that it amplifies because it's bouncing off the dome. And this is pretty small. So we're talking a smaller venue, but it's filled to the gills. Oh, man, that's going to be amazing. I hope it doesn't sound tinny. That's one thing I don't love about the Trop is sometimes the announcers, they can sound tinny because of the atmosphere. But I can imagine it, at times it's going to feel like they can't hear themselves think.
I'm sure they're going to have fireworks spouting off.
Well, he said there's instruments.
Yeah. Right. It's a party more than a baseball game.
Do you like how I just slid in the, how's the food?
I loved that. I was really hoping you would ask that, to be honest. So I really wanted to know. Personally.
That's fantastic. So for our friends who are listening on 97.3, the Fan in San Diego, Jesse will be, well, you'll hear his voice. Jesse will be following us, actually. How cool is that? Well, maybe we'll cut off the last portion of our show just because they'll be doing a pregame, but that's amazing. So we're really excited. I'll be listening to him, and then I'll have to spend some time on Dodgers radio as well because I love those guys over on Dodgers radio, which would be Charlie Steiner. I wonder if he made the trip. I hope he did. I hope that he did. We'll have to see if we can figure that out on social media. Just because Charlie is older and sometimes there have been trips recently that he hasn't taken. But I would think that this is one he wouldn't want to miss. So him, as well as, remember, Rick Monday is part of that broadcast a lot. And then Tim Neverett, too. So this is going to be amazing to have live baseball on our drive home from work. I'm telling you, the second the show is done, I'm out. I'm not missing first pitch. Or national anthem. We'll get I shouldn't assume, but the Korean national anthem and then maybe the American national anthem.
Yeah, I would think so, right? It's like
okay.
When an American team or Canadian team.
Olympics.
Right, or that too. When a team from that country plays, you play the anthem. I would think they would play it.
Like NHL.
Exactly.
When there are games that are north of the border.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I like it. So which of these would you rather lose sleep over, peeps? The start of the baseball season, our friend Michael Duarte, he's sending me text messages. I reached out to ask him, hey, are you staying up until 3 a.m. L.A. time? He's NBC L.A. Staying up till 3 a.m. to watch the game. And he said, yeah, I have to. It's my job. I know he's got a lot going on with his family right now, so he did not make the trip. But he just sent me a text and said, I'm going to be on your hours. Welcome to the dark side, baby. So, yeah, this is cool. This is the start of the baseball season. Would you rather lose sleep over baseball or March Madness? So we've got a poll up on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Also, we haven't focused on it as much in the last couple hours because we've been busy, but your chance to ask Amy anything is coming up in 20 minutes. Straight ahead, Jimmy Garoppolo answers questions about a suspension, why he wanted to join the Rams, and whether or not he still views himself as a starter in the NFL. It's good to hear from Jimmy again. In fact, producer Jay has decided he's rooting for Jimmy. Does that mean you don't want to see Stafford? Because that's how he gets on the field.
No, I like Matthew as well. But I kind of like, not that I wasn't rooting for Jimmy, but I kind of just wasn't really thinking about him at all last season.
And he was irrelevant.
Yeah. And now I'm kind of like, huh.
Well, you know what happens sometimes with the Raiders? They make really poor choices.
I've noticed.
The Rams a little bit different. Yeah, so you'll hear from Jimmy G coming up next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I'm all jazzed up now. I want to go to Seoul, South Korea here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Jacobs to the left to Garoppolo. Second and 10. Shotgun snap. Garoppolo looking over the middle. Fires to the end zone. And it's caught! Touchdown, Raiders! 8 yards in the back of the end zone. Wide open. And the Raiders take a 9-0 lead with 12:22 to go in the second.
Hungry for a taste of the most delicious audio of the night?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You came to the right place. It's time for Bite Me with Amy Lawrence. Here's Amy Lawrence.
First time in a long time that Jimmy Garoppolo seems happy, but also that he knows going into the season, he's not competing for the starting job. Now, remember, he theoretically had lost his starting job to Trey Lance. That goes back, what, 2 seasons ago now? It feels like forever that he was in San Francisco, but of course that's not the case. So he started the 21 season, right, as the backup to Trey Lance. But Trey didn't make it 2 games before Jimmy Garoppolo had to come in. He was back in a familiar position, even after the San Francisco 49ers had tried to quit him. They finally do find Brock Purdy, fall in love with Brock Purdy, realize the franchise quarterback was under their nose that whole time, and Garoppolo walks to the Raiders. Except that was an unmitigated disaster for everyone, Josh McDaniels included, probably self-induced. He loses his job then for multiple reasons at multiple times and gets cut. But he also has a 2-game suspension. However, Garoppolo's found a new home and a smile with the Los Angeles Rams. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Why L.A., Jimmy?
I haven't gone against them for so many years. I knew how good this defense was, how good, you know, the offense could put up points. It was a good situation, man. That was a big part of my decision. I just wanted to find a good situation, good people around, and I think I found it here.
And those good people include Sean McVay. Now, again, thinking about it, because of his time with San Francisco, the years he spent with the Niners, he's familiar with the Rams. They have to play each other, right? They're in the same division. And so running into Matthew Stafford, of course, going back to the first year he was there where they won the Super Bowl, and Sean McVay and conversations, but they also had joint practices last season, which gave them an opportunity to communicate further.
We've talked a bunch after games. Last year when I was with the Raiders, got to practice here against the Rams. We talked after a couple of those practices. He's always just been a very perceptive guy. He sees a lot of things, sees it very well, sees it for what it is. And that's a big part of, you know, how I got here. I think he had a vision, talked me through it, really just explained what he saw my role as. And I mean, just his football knowledge, I've heard it from so many different players and coaches, but to be here firsthand and get to experience it, that's what I'm really excited about.
Now, obviously, if Jimmy Garoppolo's on the field, something's gone horribly wrong with Matthew Stafford. Let's hope that Stafford gets all the way through the season. He's generally an Iron Man. Last year was healthy again and helped to spark the Rams to an unexpected wild card spot in the NFC. He's got kind of a new lease on life now. Not just Cooper Kupp, who also needs to stay healthy, but Puka Nacua and Kyren Williams and an offense that had a breakout season. Again, some young pieces. And so Jimmy Garoppolo's not supposed to be on the field. But just being in Sean McVay's offense likely can help him to find a groove that he really hasn't had lately. And it's another change for Garoppolo. It's been how many? A handful of coaches and offensive coordinators and now systems and languages and voices and teams. It's a lot of change. but he is a veteran guy. And within that Rams organization, with Sean McVay at the head and Matthew Stafford as a veteran QB, there should be more stability. And Garoppolo's excited about working with Matthew.
I got to meet Matt a couple times, obviously, after we played. But yeah, similar to Sean, after last year's practice and training camp against these guys, we got to sit and talk for a minute. Matt was really cool, normal, down-to-earth guy, Super Bowl champion. I mean, I think that speaks for itself, and his arm talent, I don't think it gets enough credit, but I think people are, you know, starting to notice that. So I'm excited to work with him, learn from him, and all that good stuff.
A lot of excitement around the Rams now. What Sean McVay had said after last season, that 2022, so following their Super Bowl win, it was a mess. They didn't want to rebuild, but with all the injuries, and it was Stafford, it was Kupp, it was Aaron Donald, it's so many guys that were lost to injuries, and they really just had to hit the reset button. They had to flush that season, work with young guys, try to find a way forward. And then last year, once they found their footing, well, and Puka Nacua, such a revelation. But again, Kyren Williams, too, an offensive star. And for them to have a healthy Matthew Stafford and feel like they were able to get back on track and compete in the NFC West, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next in that division. As for Garoppolo, I wondered if he was out of chances, right? I wondered whether or not he'd kind of run out of favor with the NFL. Now, again, he's a backup QB. He's the same as Justin Fields. He's the same as Kenny Pickett. Right now, he's in the same situation as, say, Jameis Winston in Cleveland. But 66 different starters at quarterback last year. 66 different starting QBs over the course of one season. And so the opportunity may very well come around again.
The league's a crazy thing, man. It's see what happened to Joe Flacco last year. I mean, the guy was sitting on a couch, and then he comes out and goes on the run he did. So the quarterback thing, it's a weird thing in this league. It's really about when you do get your opportunity to play, you got to take advantage of it. You got to play well and play well early, especially as a young guy. And I think that's a big part of it. You know, everyone wants to be so quick to pull the trigger on guys nowadays with social media and whatnot, but you just have to know who you are and where you stand in the quarterback rankings, and just be yourself, man. Enjoy it.
He's right. And I love how Joe Flacco's become this inspirational tale from the couch to comeback player of the year in the NFL, not to mention a playoff start, although it did feature two pick sixes. But, you know, that who cares about that part of the story? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. One more. And, you know, I would have started with this, except that Garoppolo really didn't offer a whole lot of information. But why? What happened with the performance-enhancing drug, the suspension, getting popped positive for a substance that's banned by the NFL?
I mean, just messed up the TUE, really. That was, I hate to joke about it, but just messed up the TUE when I first got to Las Vegas. And, yeah, bad timing, I guess.
Bad timing. All right. Well, if you're wondering, I mean, I had to look up TUE as well. I didn't know what it was an acronym for. Therapeutic use exemption from the league. So the two-game suspension is under the performance-enhancing drug policy. But he first got to Vegas, he says, and he messed up. He did not get the exemption, apply for the exemption from the league for what was a prescribed medication. And so now he says, I'm just going to attack OTAs, attack training camp, and then I'll have to sit out, let those first two games pass by, have to be out of the facilities for 2 weeks. He says, hopefully we'll get some dubs and start off 2-0 and keep things moving. I believe him. I tend to believe people. I really do. I want to believe that they're not bald-faced lying to us when they say that they weren't attempting to look for some edge. But when it comes to Garoppolo, I mean, the facts are the facts. He did have a prescription for this medication, but he never ran it by the NFL. So they would have given him the exemption. It's a medication that he would have been allowed to use had he not completely skipped the step where he gets the exemption. So that's on him. It's more of a clerical error. Kind of like the Niners with their payroll error that's cost them draft picks. Oh, that'll teach you not to have your payroll in order. Paychex. Isn't that a payroll company? Paychex.
It is.
Well, welcome back, Jimmy Garoppolo with the Los Angeles Rams. So stays in California, goes from Niners and then to the Raiders in Vegas, and then now is able to stay in California again, this time in Southern California with that gorgeous stadium, SoFi. And I don't know if we'll see him on the field, but the thing about backup QBs is that if you can have a veteran backup who is costing you very little money, it's a luxury, as opposed to have, so think Colts with Gardner Minshew, right? For him to be able to step in for Anthony Richardson last year and lead them. And I know that they fell short of the playoffs, but they had a winning record. And then Gardner translates that into, shoot, where'd he go? Did he go to the Raiders?
Yes.
He did.
Yes, he did.
I'm still trying to keep up. For him to translate that into a new free agent deal is huge. I mean, Joe Flacco is now, don't tell me, he's now in, no, not Tennessee. He's with the Colts.
Absolutely.
Oh, he replaced Gardner Minshew. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's like 6 degrees of separation. I almost said the Saints, and I was like, wait a minute. No, not the Saints, because that would be Derek Carr. Then
well,
I thought about
Jameis as their backup, so they right. need one.
Then I thought about the Titans and realized that was Mason Rudolph.
Yep.
I mean, we had as much movement among backup QBs as we did amongst starters.
I mean, look, if you're looking at last season, all these guys technically were starters. Mm-hmm. So you needed every team
a lot
really
of
needed two of them, right?
Right. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, take our poll. We're asking you, which would you rather lose sleep over this week? Is it March Madness or the start of the Major League Baseball season, which, by the way, is now 90 minutes away? And then we've got Ask Amy Anything. So send your questions. Again, show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or our Facebook page. And producer Jay will have those questions straight ahead.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
Okay, couple things. Heads up. I can't tell you who's going to win the NCAA tournaments because I have not filled up my brackets. Okay, so any questions that revolve around my Final Four, Jay knows not to ask them because I haven't filled out either one of the brackets yet, not the men's or women's, not in our After Hours bracket challenges or the family brackets. So I'm just not there yet. I wait until the last possible second. Don't ask me why. It's my special gift. And so I don't know who the Final Four will be. But once I fill up my bracket, maybe Jay and I will do a video reveal of some sort. Also, I can't tell you who's going to win the Super Bowl in 2025. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Your chance to ask Amy anything. And don't forget, brand new video edition on our YouTube channel. It's been up since Friday. Haven't even had a chance to show the link or share or show you the link yet. But those of you who subscribe, well, you know. Yo, Jay.
I did get the Super Bowl question, by the way.
Of course
anyway,
you did.
Our new YouTube video, Ask Amy, walked down the aisle. Let's get a little, not teaser from there because it's
Uh-oh.
Made, but let's get something along the lines of what you'll find in that video. So let's start here with Kelly, who asks, would you and Bob rather kayak or take a horseback ride trail?
Well, so the first time I took Bob kayaking was a couple days after we got married. And he, I don't know if he slept wrong, but his shoulders are really hurting. The bed where we stayed at this little Airbnb, oh my gosh, it was so soft. So I think he was just sore in his shoulders. So he did not enjoy kayaking. I left him in the dust. Not totally on purpose. But anyway, I wanted to go kayaking. There was a sunset. It was beautiful. He was not feeling it. And so he didn't enjoy it. He swears that he will enjoy it the next time we go. But since we had an amazing time going horseback riding the next day, I'm going to say horseback riding because we both love horses. We adore the outdoors. It's just, I think I like the water better than he does. He enjoys fishing. What if I told him he can fish off his kayak?
Oh, he absolutely could.
All right, so then maybe next time he'll be enticed by that.
You should tell him to Google pictures of, like, people fishing off their kayaks. You could set up that kayak. He'd have a blast with that.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even have a chance yet to share too many photos from post-wedding or actual wedding, but that's coming. We're getting close to that. Anyway, we rode horses by a lake. So there is like a combination.
There you go. All right, I like this one from Therese, who asks, how often do you clean out your refrigerator, and what's the weirdest thing you've ever found in there?
Huh. I would say I go through the condiments probably once a year and throw out things that have been in there far too long. I'm not sure that I keep many weird things in my refrigerator because I get freaked out by them. But I will say I made a mistake not that long ago. I had opened up a can of pumpkin. I didn't use the whole can. I was baking, but I didn't use the whole can. And so I put what was left over into a Tupperware because Henny, and really either of my pets, when they have upset stomachs, I give them pumpkin. It's something that's supposed to settle their stomachs, especially if they're having major gas issues. And so I did that. And then about 7 months later, thought, wonder what's in that Tupperware. Opens it up, and let me just tell you, it looks nothing like pumpkin.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, I probably closed the Tupperware. This is like a nice piece of Tupperware. Closed the Tupperware and threw it out. It was like, I can't even get it out of the Tupperware.
There's no saving it?
Oh, no, it did not look like pumpkin. It was about four different colors, and none of them were the orange of pumpkin color.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, I would say every year I go through the condiments. Right now our fridge is pretty empty, though, which is crazy because I feel like all I do is go to the grocery store. But when there's another person in the house... You go through things twice as quickly.
You got a house and home.
No, actually, I eat way more than he does. But
all right, well, let's get into the food here. Mac wants to know, what's your favorite type of nut? I.e., like cashews.
Cashews. Okay. Oh yeah, no, I can eat an entire, 12-ounce container of cashews and not feel bad about it. Maybe I'd get sick. I love cashews. I also love honey roasted peanuts, but they're not good for you. They're not like, you're supposed to eat nuts that are not roasted because apparently roasted gets rid of a lot of the good oils and the good fats. So if you eat peanuts, try not to eat the roasted kind. So I do eat a lot of raw walnuts, but I also love cashews. Oh my gosh, they're so good.
Rich wants to know, have you ever eaten Pop Rocks?
Oh gosh, not since I was 8. Those are the ones that they get all like poppy and snappy and crackly in your mouth.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Not since I was 8, right?
This comes from Kathy, who wants to know, what's the perfect meal for you and Bob?
Well, he's big into steak, and he is an incredible chef when it comes to anything on the grill. So I'll tell you what we had for our 3-month anniversary, which was this past weekend. He got us a couple of sirloins. They were delicious. Grilled them to perfection. And then we also had sliced and grilled zucchini and mushroom, like olive oil and salt and pepper. Delicious. And this is awesome. He grilled sweet potatoes and then made a maple cinnamon butter. It was like eating dessert. But we both love sweet potatoes, and I had done a really long trading run earlier in the day, so I ate all of it. Plus, we had leftover cupcakes from the wedding, so we had cupcakes in the freezer, and we've got two that we're pulling out every quarter because we only had 8 left. So every quarter through our first year of marriage. So yeah, that was it. Sirloin grilled, zucchini and mushroom grilled, sweet potato, I picked out the sweet potatoes. Enormous sweet potato with maple cinnamon butter and then cupcakes and milk.
I'm starving, by the way.
Seriously. So. And why does it smell like hash browns out in our newsroom?
Yeah, that didn't help either. All right, let's go on to entertainment here. So this comes from Karen, who asks, you said you watched Oppenheimer.
Mm.
Have you watched Barbie?
I haven't seen Barbie yet. Oppenheimer, I feel pretty pleased with myself because I watched it right before the Oscars and it ended up winning a bunch of Oscars. I know Barbie was up for a bunch of them as well. I think I need to be in the right frame of mind to watch Barbie. I was never really a Barbie girl. I do like Ryan Gosling, and I heard he's pretty funny
he's
in the
good,
movie.
Yeah.
Wait, oh, so you didn't see it either?
I haven't seen it either, actually.
I know you watched Oppenheimer. Okay. So at some point I will. My older niece said it was good. She felt like it was a women empowering movie. So I guess I'll watch it. It's just not, Barbie's not really my cup of tea.
Yeah.
But I know it's a cultural phenomenon.
This comes from Ed, who wants to know, if you could be an actress in any movie genre, which would you be in? What type?
Goodness. Well, I'm really big into crime dramas. So if I could be a badass FBI agent or something from Chicago PD and be on the intelligence unit, Oh, yeah. That'd be pretty amazing. Or if it was a movie. I mean, why wouldn't you want a movie about sports radio? I could be.
You might be onto something.
Or I could be a PA announcer for a movie about some kind of sports. What if they did? Well, they shouldn't do another one of the. Shoot, what's the movie with the. The basketball movie, Space Jam.
They tried that.
Yeah, no, it was awful. So not that. But if I could be the voice, like a play-by-play voice in a movie about basketball or a movie. How about this? A movie about Caitlin Clark, and I'll get to do the play-by-play.
Be awesome.
That would be amazing.
Let's start writing it.
But you know that my go-to would always be sci-fi, if that's where we put Star Wars.
All right, well, I got to lead into this one then. This actually comes from a phone call. This is Larry in Cleveland called me with this
question. Hi, Larry in Cleveland.
He wants to know, would you rather be Yoda's Padawan or be Ahsoka's apprentice?
Yoda's Padawan, except that he trained Luke in the swamp planet, the Dagobah system, and there were snakes. And there were nasty animals everywhere, and it was swampy, and it was gross, and Yoda's a hard ass.
All right, so what if you're on Coruscant?
Okay, if we're on Coruscant and there's no snakes anywhere, remember how many snakes Luke had to deal with?
A lot of snakes.
And then the cave. Remember the cave. But Yoda's obviously the best. So, let's see. Or Ahsoka's...
apprentice. You get to train her.
No, if I'm her apprentice, then she's training me. You mean she's my apprentice?
Yes, that's what I meant. Yes.
Gotcha. No. I'd go with Yoda. He's the best. Do or do not. There is no try.
Love it. Big Jim wants to know, how big a TV screen is too big for your living room?
Well, my living room's not big. My house is only 1,300 square feet total between two stories. And so Bob had a 75-incher. And he couldn't bring it because there's no place in the house for it. Mine, I upgraded 2 years ago. Yeah, I upgraded before Amazon Prime got Thursday Night Football. So I guess it was two seasons ago to a 55-incher. And it took me 7 months to put together the TV stand, as producer Jay. Mm-hmm. But I'm really proud of myself. It's solid wood. I put it together all by myself. Thank you, Jay. And 55 inches is probably the biggest that it could fit in my living room.
The last one before rapid fire, Mike wants to know, what's the longest you've ever stayed up?
43 hours in a row.
43 hours?
Yeah, no joke. It was painful, as in dangerous and painful, so don't do it. But yes, I routinely stay up 30, 31, 32 when I travel after working, but 43 hours was insane.
Wow. All right, yeah. Rapid fire. Coin toss, heads or tails?
Heads.
Chick-fil-A or Shake Shack?
Shake Shack. Ooh. Because of the chocolate shake, baby.
Cheese fries or chili fries?
Sweet potato fries.
Okay.
Okay.
Watercolor or oil paints?
Oil paints. I always get way too much water and it runs everywhere.
Major city or remote location?
Remote location.
Fly or teleport there?
I don't know.